Hello and welcome to Dungeon Regular, a show about modules, adventures, and dungeons. I'm Nova, also known as Idle Cartoolery, and I'm reading through Dungeon Magazine, one module at a time. I'll summarize that module, talk about its strengths and weaknesses, and talk about a few interesting things about it that could be used at the table to impact your own homebrew design. Today I'm going to talk about After the Storm by Nick Kapinsis and Patrick Gostigan, in issue number 6, July 1987. After the Storm is an underwater adventure featuring a gruff lighthouse keeper and a sunken pirate treasure ship. It's high level and requires the player characters to be able to breathe and travel underwater, but otherwise it's suitable for almost any system. I feel like I'd choose Cairn, largely because cute town of Bazite, or Dungeon Crawl Classics because high level underwater adventures lend themselves to funnel or gonzo play to me. What can we take back to our table from After the Storm, even if we don't use it in our home campaign? Number 1, underwater adventures. So, I didn't really get underwater adventures. I've run a few, but the truth is, most guidance is kind of over the top, and it ends up playing as scenery because you want the player character to be able to act. I quite like the points that this module draws attention to, though. You can't talk, you can't see far, you can only thrust attack, you can't read a spell out loud or drink a potion. And if you lose your breathing apparatus, probably magic, you'll die pretty quickly. This keeps the stakes high, the situation unique, with lots of interesting opportunities for mishaps. I like these stakes to the point where I'm now considering how I could make an interesting underwater adventure. Number 2, encounter tables. Bluewater Cove's encounter table is very Dungeons & Dragons in a not-so-positive way. It feels generated from the tables in the Dungeon Master's Guide. I want to know why there are floating eyes, what the Ixit Shadow is actually doing there, why there is a sunken ship without anything of interest at all in it. Random encounter tables need to be reflective of the environment and the relationships around them, and so I find encounters that are actually random pretty dry and boring. On the other hand, I like the idea that you might encounter different things on the ocean floor than free swimming. Random encounter tables in general just really need to be relational and not random. 3. Old Ben. A major character here is Old Ben, the lighthouse keeper, who is also a were-shark who sabotages the party with bad information and also is a dangerous enemy in the cove. Old Ben is honestly has such great potential. Here we have our monster, who is also a character we see every day, and they're in different environments. The were-shark can take hybrid form, but I'm inclined to encounter Old Ben in shark form to further differentiate him. But he's not on the random encounter list where I feel he should be, the centerpiece of it. And he's rarely at home, which means breaking into and exploring the old lighthouse is a dull treasure-collecting procedure. I would prefer to see the old lycanthrope used in a more interesting way, and honestly, I might do it myself. Number 4, the locations. For a cave local to a small fishing town, I'd love to know why it's such a hotbed of evil. Evil hags, giant octopus, coral beasts all just live here in this cove. If every cove has a similar population, I can't imagine anyone staying in this sea for long. I prefer that modules provide reasoning for the concentration of danger they expect you to wade into. All of these could have, of course, been attracted by the new shipwreck. The same concern goes with the wreck itself, which is a multi-level affair, a dungeon crawl in a galleon. This is a pretty cool take on a dungeon, to be honest. However, why in just a week has it been populated with over 45 different monsters? Number 5, narrative in modules. This is a really compelling module to me. The first underwater adventure I found compelling at all, really. However, it falls apart because there's no story here. Everything in it feels random, as if it were an excuse to use the cool underwater monsters in the monster manual. This still would be good if it held together more cohesively. If there were a turf war between the were-shark and the hags over the new ship, for example. If they were engaging the PCs into their service for the battle. If the random encounters reflected this war, perhaps, then I'd be more inclined to run it. It's important that your location has a story, even if that story is just a one-sentence one, because play is more interesting only in how that story is directed by the player characters. That is After the Storm in a nutshell. I hope that you'll join me for the next episode of Dungeon Regular. If you have any questions, please reach out. I'm on Twitter, Blue Sky, and Mastodon at Idle Cartoolery, and I write reviews and blog at playfulvoid.game.blog. If you'd like to support Dungeon Regular, please visit my Ko-fi at ko-fi/idlecartoolery. Our theme music is an extract from Turning the Page by Kirk Osamayo on the Free Music Archive, used under a Creative Commons license. Thank you for listening to Dungeon Regular.